of our time as we can. And due to some of the logistics, we're going to need to make sure that we dismiss this session about 20 till, if possible, so that we can set up for the ladies' class next hour. I guess if we get out of here at 15 till, we'll be good. But began this yesterday, and I thought yesterday went really well. And I know these men are capable and qualified to handle the topic before us, and that is strengthening the relationship between preachers and elders. And so I'm going to let them introduce themselves. They can flip a coin at this point and see which end we're going to start on. It doesn't matter to me. If we have a chance, we will open the floor for discussion. If we do not, as we said yesterday, I hope that you will take these men aside and question them and ask them things. Get encouragement from them as they're here to serve you and to serve us this week.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. There we go. Make sure you're awake. Okay. My name is David Jones, and I preach for the Hollywood Road Church of Christ in Houma, Louisiana. You want to introduce yourself and go down and just start. Okay. I graduated from Memphis in 1986, and since then I've been trying to preach the gospel in different states around the world, and my wife and I have been laboring in Houma for the last almost 4 years. It is a difficult work, challenging work, but the most exciting work in which we've ever been engaged. I have, in the past, served under two other elderships, and now under my third eldership. And in the other two places, I also served for a while as one of the elders. And I'm not serving as an elder today, but I am serving under three good men. And as I was thinking about how would you start this forum about strengthening the relationship between an elder and a preacher, or the elders and a preacher, I know I'm talking to the choir primarily, so I have nothing that's new under the sun, and I'm sure you know these things as well as I. But from experience, the first eldership under which I labored, I did not inquire enough before we moved there. So I went in naive, and I built up the eldership publicly. And there were some things I did not know that had happened in the past, and it created enormous amount of problems in that congregation, and it created some problems between me and the elders, or particularly one of them. And so I would say, if I'm going to strengthen my relationship with them, I need to know who they are. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12, to know them that are over you in the Lord and admonish you. He also said to treat them as fathers. I appreciated Brother Bonner's good lesson this morning to us as to we preachers about how to love our elders. To know them takes a good bit of time to get to know them. I would say spend time with them in whatever way that you can, whatever, particularly in meetings, discussing the situations in the church, discussing individuals, trying to help individuals, trying to help the congregation grow, try to help the congregation bring glory to God. But I would say get to know them in a personal way, to be able to spend time with them away from, as it were, the congregation and get to know them personally. I moved to Louisiana in the heart of swampland. So if you've ever seen swamp people, you've seen where I live, right in the middle of it, and proud to live there. It's a great place and great people. When I moved there, nobody in the eldership played golf. So now I've converted two of them to golf. And so we get to spend some time together just walking on a golf course and being friends. And I've gotten to know them very well, and they've gotten to know me very well. And we've been able to discuss things, maybe things that I thought, having a little experience, could have been done a little bit better. But we could discuss it as friends. We could discuss it as grown men and discuss it as Christian men. And they've come to me, and we're able to talk about those things, but we have that relationship. The first place I served under, as I mentioned, there was a man who was a very domineering, patriarchal type individual in his mind. And that was my first work under elders. I was a lot younger than I am now. And I just didn't exactly know how. I didn't get to know him. It was hard to deal with him. But in the other two works, with the other where I served as an elder, served with two men that I appreciated and loved. And these three men down at home now are outstanding men. We pray together. We study together. We appreciate and respect one another. They respect me for what I do, and I respect them for who they are. When I went there and discussed about moving there, they told me, we want a preacher who will come and study, who wants to live here, become a part of this community, become a part of this congregation, and become part of us. They told me that they would always have my back, and if I preached the truth, they would never double-cross me. And I said, well, I've been told that on numerous occasions before. And they said, well, you're not among anybody like that anymore. And there have some things that have come up. People have disagreed with truth, and they have been 100% men about their word. They've stood right where they said they would stand. And they've taken the opposition. They'll let the congregation know, if it's in the book, Brother Jones is going to preach it. If it's in the book, we're going to defend it. And if you don't like that, then you need to talk to us about that. And so we have a great relationship. I trust the men. I believe that they are honest. They still need to learn some more things, but so do I. And my eyes in the last 4 years have been open to a lot of things. My attitudes have been changed about a lot of things. And Kathy and I have grown to be much better people since we worked with this eldership. And so I'm honored to be there. I'm honored to have the relationship I have with them. And I just hope and pray that all preachers could have a situation like I have now. It took me a few years to get there, but I'm there. And I love the relationship that we have.
The greatest ethical principle ever known to man is Matthew 7 and verse 12. And it seems to me, and I appreciate everything that he said, it seems to me that both preachers and elders ought to operate with the mindset that walks in the other person's shoes. What is it to be an elder? And I want to treat him with respect. I've been talking the last few days with a preacher in another state who is struggling grievously in his work he's a young man. He's in his 20s, early 20s. And you know, a lot of preachers are fired from their first work. Reckon that's true? Is that a true statement? They don't make it. And then a lot of them just bail. They don't hold on and they don't preach. They just give it up. And I think that's a very sad thing. And sometimes it's because of a breakdown in Matthew 7 and 12 with reference to elder-preacher relationship. What I've been telling this young man is that I know that you disagree with the elders. I know you believe they're not holding up their end. They're not doing what the Lord would have them to do. And I think he's probably right. But when you speak to them, you always start by saying, I appreciate you, and I know you're the elders, and I'm going to follow your lead. And thank you for letting me talk about these things openly. Show them the deference. Show them the respect. And all that you're doing by saying those things is opening their ears to your words. They need to know that I know that you're an evangelist, and I know that there's a sense in which that's a separate office from the eldership. Let me tell you something. Preachers aren't to always obey the elders. Can you think of a circumstance under which that's true? I can. If what the elders are espousing is doctrinally false, don't you suppose the preacher still ought to go to the pulpit and preach the truth? Now, that nobody respects elders more than I do. I understand those principles, and I understand as a member of that church, I'm in submission to the elders. Here's what I'm saying, though, and I'm talking too much, but what I'm saying is that I think that preachers, you and I, need to think about what it's like to be an elder. Those guys are just men. You know it. I happen to know that for a fact. They're just men trying to fill this role the best way they can with the help of the grace of God. Show them respect. That's what they need. And when you show them that respect, you open up their ears to listen to you. And elders, it's mighty hard to be a young preacher. And you know what he wants? You know what that guy wants? He wants to feel like that you respect his opinions, that you care to listen to him. He needs you for a confidant. I wonder if we, can we just do this in this room? How many preachers, raise your hand if you're a preacher. How many preachers? Most of you are preachers. Women, put your hands down. I'm just kidding. Tell me, can you put in a word deep in your heart, what you really want from your elders in your relationship, what would you say? Friendship. What else? Faith. Did you say faith?
Respect.
Oh, respect. Yes, good.
Execution.
Good. I understand. Understand.
Not the man.
Well, look, the very fact that we can, and all of you here have these words in your mind, you know what, in an ideal world, what you'd like from your elders. Treat them the way you'd like to be treated. Elders, treat those preachers the way you'd like to be treated. If you want that work to grow and to do well in the grace of God, what you're going to have to do is work as a team. And God will bless you.
Eric Owens from the Avondale Congregation in Decatur, Georgia. And I would echo what Brother Colley and Brother Jones said. I had written some things here down. I'll try to get through them as quickly as possible. You know how I am with time. But the first thing that came to my mind is this is not about preachers and how to strengthen a relationship with elders. And so there are obviously things preachers could and should do as well. And maybe that's another discussion for another day, because it's obviously not one-sided. But since the discussion was how can elders strengthen the relationship, this then sounds like things that elders can and should be doing to help the relationship with elders. And so with that in mind, let me say these things, and it begins by echoing what Brother Colley just said, and that is I'm convinced that everybody is a Christian first. And though we have different roles, and sometimes those roles have specific instructions, there are no roles that are not ultimately Christian roles. So if you're a husband, a father, a mother, a wife, an elder, a preacher, a deacon, ultimately you're a Christian. And so we have to treat each other in that regard. More specifically, though, with regards to elders and preachers, I would say some of these things. Number one is honor preaching. Avoid put-downs. It is a very common occurrence for preachers' feelings to be wholly disregarded, and people become very comfortable with saying harsh, critical, biting things about preachers and preaching, and then laugh about it. If the preacher defends himself, then he's a problem. So he's very often forced to say nothing but feel like he was just stuck with a poison arrow. I don't think our elders at home, and I serve with some wonderful brethren, and I would not say one bad thing about them. I don't think they fully appreciated how it was making us feel. But early on in our time there, Jonathan and mine, we were the end of all the jokes. It did not matter the occasion, it did not matter the setting, and one way or another, we were on the end of it. We had a young man out of school, fresh out of school, come and he preached for us. We supported him in school, and he did a very good job. Nothing about him. But after he finished, one of our elders stood up, publicly said in front of the congregation with us both in the audience, "That was so good, we could trade two for one." It did have a few jokes and a few laughs about it, but I got to tell you, I thought, wow, maybe he's joking. We do need to have sense of humors. But it had become such a common occurrence that I got to tell you, it didn't feel good. And I think a lot of people don't think preachers have feelings. And a lot of elders get in the habit of every time they get up, every time in public, they find a way to make the preacher the end of the joke. And I got to tell you, if we're going to strengthen the relationship, I would begin by saying honor preaching and avoid these sometimes very painful, biting remarks that people make at the preacher's expense. Secondly, I would, turning that around, say publicly endorse the word. Publicly endorse that you appreciate the preaching, but more than that, publicly endorse the effort. People think preaching is pretty easy. I'm amazed that they do that. Billy Bland, when we was in school, said somebody said to him, "Well, man, you only work a few hours a week." He said, "Well, jump on in, the water's fine." It is not, you know, I can understand, and sometimes people fill in and they do a great job. If you give a man 3 months, 6 months to put together one sermon, I hope it's good. Preachers don't have such a privilege of that, though. And I would say elders should publicly endorse the effort. Going further along those same lines, I would say publicly endorse the man. This is a man who has dedicated his life to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. While you're endorsing the word and the effort, say something good about him. I'm not saying that preachers need to be walking on rose petals or anything like that. I don't mean anything like that. I simply mean, if to strengthen the relationship, to feel good, to hear your elders say, "We appreciate God's word being preached, we appreciate the time he put in the study in it, and we appreciate him." It sure makes the preacher feel good when the elders get up and say things like that publicly. I would extend that to his wife. Wives are not preachers, but they get treated like them. And a lot of times, preachers' wives fall under a very heavy load and burden without the training and teaching to bear that. And nobody seems much concerned about what's being said to wives. I don't know how many times my wife has said to me, "Eric, they don't say to you what they say to me." And she has been hurt several times. It would be nice if the elders stood up and said, "Hey, you know, something good about Sister Owens," every now and again. It would help me that they are concerned about my wife. It would help me to know that as well. Elders should create a supportive, encouraging environment led by the members, because do you know what members do? They follow shepherds. And if the shepherds can get up and put the preacher down, and if the shepherds have no concern about his feelings, well, you need to believe that that's going to resonate with at least some of the members. By honoring the work, by appreciating him and saying in public and doing those things, you create an environment where the congregation appreciates preaching and the effort. And brethren, can we please stop telling visiting preachers that they hung the moon while we kick our present preachers under the car and under the rug? It has happened to me in visiting and being visited, so I know the feeling on both sides. We've had some great preachers come through Avondale, and they do a great job when they're there. I have actually found members apologizing to me for how they praise the preacher who is visiting. he just preached the best sermon I've ever heard in my life. And oh yeah, Eric, you do okay too. That's right. Well, thank you. I'll be here all week. Chances are good your preacher doesn't have any ego. He invited the preacher, or at least endorses his being there. But it sure doesn't make him feel good when you make every new toy that comes through a whole lot better than the one you have. That brings me to my last thing. I feel like Brother Colley and I have certainly talked too long, but I really want to talk about this one very quickly, and that is the issue of money. It is very easy to say that you and I endorse and honor preaching. The reality is that those things that we honor, we're willing to pay for. We talk about doctors and lawyers, and we honor the works that they do, and so we pay the fees that those individuals require because of the work's sake. Well, we say that we honor preaching in the same way. I don't know of any preacher who has gone into preaching to become rich. There are individuals who may or may not be hirelings. I don't know anything about that, and I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the man who wants to help people, wants to share God's word, wants to save the world, wants to make a difference. And he comes out of preaching school, and he has maybe a wife and some children. And elders sit around in a room and talk about, what's the least you can come for? And they start the man out, barely with his nose above the water. And it stresses him, stresses his wife, stresses his family. And he goes home every night with those stresses added to the work. Wouldn't it be nice if he could remove those stresses from his life? Wouldn't it be nice if the elder said, let's pay him something that allows him to move forward in life with his wife and with his family, that creates a situation where they don't have to worry about finances. If we were talking about preachers, I'd spend a lot of time saying that we have to be accountable. We have to be good stewards. We have to manage our monies correctly, and all those sorts of things are true. But isn't it the case more often than not that elderships try to pay preachers the least they could for the maximum work they can get? And then if we're privileged, they incrementally raise us a little bit, just enough to keep your nose right above the water. Why not make a commitment to him for years? Why not invite him into your office and say, listen, we want you here long term. We want to have you work with us for years, decades. Let's create a situation where we can presently pay you something that allows you to remove the stress of money, and then let us together be about the work of God. Rather than keep your nose above the water just barely for year in and year out and strain and stress over money, I can tell you this, as a preacher, we don't like asking for more money. Elders, I don't know a preacher who thinks it's a great joy to, it's January now, I wonder if I'm getting a raise this year. I wonder if maybe this is the year where they'll look favorably upon me and move me up a little bit. I don't know a preacher who enjoys that. I don't personally. I never enjoyed whether or not this was going to be the year. Elderships can take a very lax attitude to whether or not this man is going to get a raise. I've said in situations where, well, I'll tell you about my first work, the pay was $375 a week. That was in the mid-90s. How we did that, I don't know. How my wife survived that, I don't know. She is a great woman, by the way. She's a great woman. But our elderships need to know how this stresses out preachers, how difficult a burden this is, and how hard it is. There is nothing more a preacher will appreciate than an eldership saying, here is how much we appreciate what you're doing. Let us pay you this. Again, I'm not saying preachers should be seeking to get rich. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we should change the mentality about the way we presently approach it. And lastly, when you are approached by your preacher, don't be defensive. A lot of time preachers want to talk to elders, and before they get a word out, they're getting a stiff arm saying, listen, we are not going to entertain you. And a lot of times preachers have good ideas and good suggestions, but elderships get very defensive at any suggestion. Invite the preacher in, actually let him approach you, and don't give him your work. If you want to strengthen the relationship, let the preacher preach and let the elder shepherd, and don't make the preacher a shepherd, unless he is one. And that's very difficult, and sometimes elderships are willing. I sat with an eldership on one occasion, don't tell the people at home this. I thought it was time to start looking, and so I went and sat with an eldership, and we were talking about the work and maybe coming on there, and we filled out a questionnaire. And we reached this point where they said, well, we like you to fill out time sheets. We like for you to do this and to make sure that you make visits. And I said, well, brethren, I understand, I think, what you're trying to say, but I've been doing the work for a while. I'm going to be about my business. You're not going to have to worry about that. It won't be a problem, but I really would feel uncomfortable. It seems like I'm going to be destined for failure if I start out that way. They said, well, we assure you we won't be using the timesheets or anything like that. We just want to have an accounting. I said, well, I'm very uncomfortable with that. I really don't think I'm going to be able to do that. And then one of the elders shared with me why they had reached that approach. He said, many years ago, we had a sister here, and she had fallen through the cracks, and we went to withdraw fellowship from her, and her response to us was, nobody visited me, nobody cared, and now you're going to withdraw fellowship from me. And he said, ever since then, we've made sure that our preachers visit every member. And I thought, well, she didn't fall through the cracks because the preacher didn't visit her. She fell through the cracks because the shepherds didn't shepherd her. And their reaction to that was, we will force the preacher to make sure he visits and notes every person that he visits to ensure that nobody falls through the cracks. That is not the solution for that answer, in my estimation. So I would say, don't give the preacher your work. You shepherd the flock and let him preach the word. Thank you.
Before I introduce myself, let me ask one question just because I want to get an idea, and I don't want to break the thought from what Eric was just saying regarding preachers being paid for the work. Those of you that are preachers, and obviously that's just about everybody in here, with a raise of hands, how many of you would preach for nothing? How many of you can preach for nothing? Okay? There are some that can. There's some that can because of perhaps former employment, some that can because of spouses, some that can because of their families that they came from. But by and large, a preacher cannot preach for nothing. The follow-up question to that, and I don't want a show of hands, is that how many of us think that the preacher should preach for nothing? And that answer, surprisingly, would be that there are some that think the preacher should preach for nothing. It's not possible. It is not possible. Not unless the person is independently wealthy. But I just wanted to throw that in on the back of what Eric had to say. My name is Dan Cates. I'm a 1994 graduate of the Memphis School of Preaching. The preacher at the Independence Church of Christ in Independence, Mississippi. One of the elders, I've been the preacher there for 13 years. I'm in my second year serving as an elder. I teach at the Memphis School of Preaching. I grew up the son of a preacher, the grandson of a preacher, the great-grandson of an elder. I grew up in a family which loves more than anything the Lord's church. You cannot trip in my family without falling on a preacher. My dad is a preacher, obviously, as I mentioned. My brother's a preacher. My wife married a preacher. Yeah, craziest thing, man. But my wife's father is a preacher sitting beside me. My wife's brother is a preacher sitting in front of me. A family of preachers on both sides. Let me just throw one thing in as a side note. My wife doesn't necessarily want our son to be a preacher. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Why do you think that is? She's seen some of the things that preachers have to go through. She loves her son. You know what I want? I want for my son to be a faithful Christian. I want for my son to have an appreciation for God and His Word. Nothing would make me happier than when I am 65 or 70 to know that my son is an elder in the Lord's church. If he is a preacher, I am going to be thrilled. If he's a faithful Christian, I will be more so. Brother Bland, whom Eric mentioned a moment ago, was appointed an elder a few years ago. And Brother Jones and Wayne know what he said. He said that that afternoon, he immediately hated preachers. And I joke around about hating preachers. I love preachers. And I love elders. And I don't want for this to be elder bashing, and I don't want it to be preacher bashing. Because, as has been mentioned, we're a team. How many words are there in Scripture, in the New Testament, for crowns? If I understand correctly, there are two words. There is the diadem, which is the royal crown. It's the crown that Christ wears. And then there's the Stephanos, which is the victory crown. That's the crown of Revelation 2:10. That's the crown that the victor would receive that Paul was speaking of when he said, I fought a good fight. It's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. That crown is the same whether you are a preacher or whether you're an elder. There's not a different crown. The victory is the same. The reason the victory is the same and the crown is the same is because we're on the same team. Like you, I've served under different elderships. I've served under bad elderships. I've served under moderate to good elderships. And I've served under what probably is the greatest eldership that you could possibly ever have. Regarding the latter one, when we moved to Independence, Independence had just appointed elders. One of the men had been an elder at another congregation for a number of years. One of the men had been an elder at Independence for a number of years, but Independence had been without elders for a time. Those two men have been among the best friends I've ever had. One of them has gone on to his reward, Albert Embry. I love Brother Embry. He was a cross between a father and a grandfather. One I'm privileged to serve with. Weber Ferguson. He is like a father, or a cross between a father and a grandfather. Why is that the case? Because these men understood what it meant to have a concern for souls and understood humility. And because they encouraged me to work with them. There are two questions that I believe that both sides, preachers and elders, should entertain. Number one, what can, in the case of the preacher, I do? What can, in the case of the elders, we do to make the others work more effective? If I'm the preacher, what can I do to make the work of these elders more effective? If I am an elder, or if I'm the eldership, what can I or we do, and by elder I mean one of, what can I or we do to make the preacher's work more effective? It's been pointed out, we have different roles. We're not all responsible for the same tasks. What can I do to make everybody work together more effectively? The second question that we should entertain, again, for both sides, what can I as a preacher, or what am I as one of the elders, doing to build up the other in the eyes of the congregation? What am I doing as a preacher to make the congregation or to help the congregation to appreciate that these men watch for their souls? What am I doing as an elder of the congregation to build the preacher up in the eyes of the congregation? Every opportunity that fit. And Brother Jones mentioned that sometimes you might build up the elders, or for that matter the preacher, and not know something that's going on in the background or a history that was there. But to my knowledge, every opportunity that I've had, no matter where I've been, to build up the elders in something good, I've done that. I have, fortunately, two students from the Memphis School of Preaching working with me now. Every opportunity as an elder, I try to build them up. I try to let the congregation know those men are striving to learn to preach the gospel, and they do anything that they can to help further the work of this congregation. If we will appreciate that we, whether we are elders or preachers, can make the work of the other more effective, and that both of us have the responsibility to build up the other in the eyes of the congregation, then we are going to have a successful elder-preacher relationship. And I might add just one more thought, and you know, if anybody's done too much talking, it's I. Not only are we sharing in the victory, we need to share in the vision. We need to have the same vision. And that vision begins at home. The congregation of which we're members, that is the most important thing in the world. But that vision doesn't stop at home. Winning people in the community to Christ, to this congregation, and winning people to Christ throughout the world, that is very closely behind the first. And if preachers and elders alike can set their minds on souls, no matter where they might be, God's work is going to be accomplished. We need to share the vision. And my wife says I'm naive, and I am. I like to think everything's good. She says I'm very naive. But you know what? Sometimes naivety is good. Sometimes you can think the best and it works out. Let's make it work. Let's do it. We can. We're in the team together. We can encourage each other.
Earlier I said that I had been to that first congregation with elders and not done my homework like I should. I've learned from that I do not entertain in the background people coming to me telling me, running down my elders. If they come to me and they want to tell me about something that happened in the past or something is happening in the present they don't like about the elders, my response has learned to be, then if you want to talk to me about this, we need to get the elder with us or the elders. They promised me that they would have my back, and they've kept their word. I promised them I would have their back. I've kept my word. It's all about trust. It's hard to do sometimes in life when you have let people down or they have let you down, to rebuild that trust or to build it or to have that trust. But I can't imagine, and I am older. I'm probably the oldest one up. I'm sure I'm the oldest one up here by far. But I have learned that you cannot do the Lord's work as a congregation without trust in the leadership. If a preacher has a problem with the elders or there's a trust issue, that needs to be worked out. It needs to be on solid ground. And then when the elders, someone comes to them with a complaint about the preacher, I feel very confident these days that these men will not entertain that without my knowledge. They will not just take that aside and come after me about that. And I've guaranteed them, as long as I have my right mind, I will never do them that way. Receive not an accusation against an elder except before one or two witnesses. The Lord meant that. But I would say it ought to be just as the same Matthew 7:12 that Brother Glenn mentioned. Sorry about that. Love you, Dad. That if somebody comes after the preacher, it ought not be except before one or two witnesses as well. That trust needs to be there. And everybody mentioned this, and I had it written down on a note that I didn't bring with me. Now, when you get old, you write things on notes, but I sometimes lose the notes, so it doesn't do me a lot of good. But I just let that slip right out of my head. Oh, we are all, these guys mentioned we're all on the same team. I have heard members say it's us against them. I've heard that since I've been in HOMA. And I've let the members know it's not us against them, it's us against the world. It's us against sin. It's us against the devil. And we're all on the same team. And so if you have members who feel that way, we need as preachers in the background working with those individuals and from the pulpits, teaching them, trying to bring them out of their ignorance to the point to understand we all must do our roles effectively, just like Dan said. I, as a preacher, must preach the truth. The elders must shepherd. But we should all be in it for the same goal. And it gets that way. It gets off base sometimes. Elders get something against the preacher. They don't like him. Maybe somebody, like Eric said, a new toy comes along and they think, well, we could do better with him. Or a preacher gets upset with an eldership about something, and if it's doctrinal, they ought to take care of it. If it's personal, then we have to learn how to work with that. But the thing that suffers through all that is this. Souls are left untaught, and members of the congregation are discouraged. And members of the congregation fall away. As a preacher, it's the greatest work on earth. It's the greatest honor of my life is to be God's man. I married the greatest wife ever, Brother Eric. I'm sorry, Vanessa has to be number two. Kathy's the best.
Shelly's not going to like that. Neither is Shanna Kay.
Well, too bad. Kathy's the best. And preachers, everybody down there knows that. And our elders get up and publicly say that. I tell you, I'm in paradise. It's a difficult work, but working with my elders is outstanding. And it can be great, but we all have to work at it.
Might have a time, just a moment or two, for a closing comment from the others. Okay, let me say just a couple of things. The idea of trust is what kept coming to my mind, and I wanted to share. I know that we didn't open the floor again today. I'll just take the advantage of being the one who can take the mic. As a practical piece of advice, and this may not work for you because you may not have the ability, I would say you want to build trust in an eldership and preacher, go into the mission field together. Spend some time away from home doing the work of the Lord without the distractions of local work. And I say that from experience, because there are a number of men in this congregation that I've served under, and I love all of them. One currently serving now, actually sitting in the sound room, and you'll see him doing things around the building. I've loved Brother Joe since the day we got here. But our relationship was not the same until this past March. We spent a week in the mission fields of Jamaica together, and that strengthened that for me. It gave me a deeper appreciation for his love for souls, his love for the work, and I hope it did in his mind for me. And that has made that relationship all the better in the time that we've been back. And so I would say practically, but the idea of trust, I heard a man say on one occasion, and I'll put this both ways, that preachers should be some of the most spiritually minded people in the congregation. Yet elders seem to spend more time in meeting with preachers than anybody else. I would say on the other side of that coin, that elders ought to be some of the most servant-minded, people-oriented individuals in the congregation, and yet preachers spend more time talking about elders than they do about how they're going to go get the lost. I think the key component missing in both sides of that relationship is trust. If trust was there, we wouldn't spend so much time worrying about what the other was doing, because we know we were doing it together. I'm going to ask Brother Glenn if he will make some final comments, and if he doesn't mind, to dismiss us in prayer. And if Eric needs some more time, we'll allow that too. And then if Brother Glenn would dismiss us in prayer at the end of these comments.
I will be very brief. I just was thinking that it's kind of like a marriage, and I think it should be approached in that way in some sense, that we are both making a commitment to each other, and it kind of starts as a honeymoon, and pretty soon we're taking each other for granted. And so we should try to sustain it. One of the things that elders should do as well, I would think, is to slow him down and shepherd him. One of the things my elders did was they sat me down and they said, "You're going too much. You're doing too much. We need you to be concerned with your family. You need to take some time off. You need to be a father and a husband." And sometimes young preachers in particular lose sight of that, and they want to do everything for everybody. And elders could step in and help him too in that regard. They could shepherd him. There's a good book entitled Leadership and Self-Deception. It's really a good book, worthy of a read. And finally, I would just say this very quickly, show him you care about him. And that would really strengthen the relationship.
I just want to make an assignment. Can I make an assignment? Okay. You know, we've talked about what I think are some very, very important things this afternoon, and I've enjoyed listening to these brothers. Here it is. I believe that a church is greatly strengthened when she knows that her preacher and elders love each other and get along. You reckon that's true? But I believe the opposite must also be true. So, here's what I want to assign you. Preachers, at least one time a month, when you go to the pulpit, make a positive reference to the elders and how much you love and appreciate them. And elders, I want to assign, I don't know if you can assign elders, I'm going to try. Every Sunday in your congregation, you elders take turn about, and whoever's turn it is, go after that sermon, before the closing prayer, one of the elders ought to go to that microphone and say, "We appreciate this church so very much, and we appreciate that good sermon. Thank you, brother, whoever it is. Thank you for presenting that good lesson, and we elders want to commend that lesson to you. We appreciate this lesson. And you say, well, you're just trying to get bragging for the preaching. That's not true. Well, maybe it's a little true. But the main thing is you're going to bless that church, because that church needs to know that the elders and her preacher get along and love each other. It'll enhance the work of the Lord in that place. Let's pray. Holy Father, thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for giving us the Word, the light that guides us in our steps, and for the church that was bought by the blood of Jesus. Help us, Father, as small as we are, to be good elders. Help us to shoulder this responsibility, recognizing our need for mercy, but also recognizing the need to be leaders and assertive in our roles. And bless us as preachers, Father, to always be humble, always stand behind the cross, always fill our sermons with Thy Word. We ask, Father, for wisdom and courage and forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.